Welcome back to the program. A big congratulations to Wade and Jesse, the pizza delivery guy. You guys remember Jesse, the pizza delivery guy, right? He's been a long-time listener
of
us.
He delivered us a pepperoni pizza.
Everybody knows we don't spend any time together off-air, so we didn't get a pizza delivered together.
As you say, you know, Pittsburgh is killing New Jersey, and apparently Crosby has made the nicest pass to Malkin.
But New Jersey always beats Pittsburgh.
Well, it's true.
Historically.
Well, it is true.
I'm not sure about that. Anyways, congratulations.
What do you think? I made that up?
Yeah.
They've played four times this year, and New Jersey's won three games. Go look it up.
Congratulations to both Wade and Jesse. They're off to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club Tuesday night.
Drew's sassing me. You know what? You're sassing me right now. I don't like it.
You shouldn't be surprised I'm sassing you. Let's talk about the Boston Bruins. Because there's a promo playing for our program right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ezzy and I get into a dispute, as we do, well, pretty much.
Probably about food.
No, not about food this time. But we get into a dispute about Tim Thomas and the dressing room there. And this is right after the White House controversy. And I say if he starts to struggle, he's going to be on the first train out of town. And you said he's got the support of that entire dressing room.
No, you said he'll be on the first train out of town. And I said he'd be on the first plane out of town.
No, you said he's got the support of the entire dressing room. Given their recent struggles, 3-7 in the last 10, does Tim Thomas still have that support of that entire dressing room? Or is this quickly becoming a lost year for the Boston Bruins?
Hold on. I live in Winnipeg. I've never been in the Boston Bruins dressing room.
Let me rephrase the question then. How much of a distraction has Tim Thomas become to the Boston Bruins?
I think that the Boston Bruins have struggled, and it so happens that maybe some of the comments were negative, but I definitely do not think that the Boston Bruins team, and once again, this is my opinion, I don't think that whatever you want to say, if there's a group in the Boston Bruins dressing room or the majority of the Boston Bruins, I don't think that they're not in his corner. And I think some people are saying that that's the case. So if you look at the Boston Bruins, that's a group that's been around for a long time. And you have a leadership group there, Richie. But as far as I'm concerned, I have no problem with Tim Thomas. And I think that was and I know that that's not your question. But no, I think that the Boston Bruins are struggling right now. And Tim Thomas has been unbelievable the entire year. And so is Tuukka Rask. And to say that all of a sudden, because he made some comments on a Facebook page, that's the reason why they're struggling. Come on, to correlate those two? That's pretty ridiculous. It is.
Well, I mean, the timing is too coincidental, I think, to say it's ridiculous to do that, Ezzy. But I think also you need to take into account the fact that, you know, this is a team that has won. Well, let's evaluate the Bruins here for a second, and let's wonder what they are, because they're a pretty good team moving forward, right? They have good young pieces, obviously, from that trade and from other players. You know, they locked up, Krejci locked up Bergeron for a long term. But do we anoint them champions too early in the sense that they want a cup? In this day and age, it's so hard at the parity. I mean, they're slumping right now. Lots of teams go through prolonged periods of slumps. Do we make them out to be the best team in the league? Hands down. Maybe before they were. I mean, last year they won the cup. They were great. But were they not in overtime in the first round against Montreal?
Yeah.
Were they not in Game 7 against Tampa Bay and won 1-0?
I still think they're the second best team in the East.
Exactly. They might be. But do we also put them on a pedestal as if they were anybody beating them was an insurmountable? There were insurmountable odds.
Well, it's funny, Richie. You mentioned parity, okay? And the Bruins have lost four in a row here, and Ottawa won yesterday, and now they've moved to second place in the East, and that's a terrific story. Nobody expected Ottawa to be second in the East.
With Florida, I should add, right on their heels with two games in hand.
Right. But Boston has been up in the top two the entire year. They've had some struggles here, and Tim Thomas, don't get me wrong, I'm not arguing that he's not playing well lately. He's struggling. Maybe personally he's been affected, and he's lost confidence, but as far as I'm concerned,
he's not the youngest goal in the league, is he?
No, he's not, and I think he'll get it back, and I'm not worried about the Boston Bruins, whether they finish seventh. I mean, right now they would play Ottawa.
But that's goal. Let me get into everything. That's goaltending. What about, I mean, we'll take age out of it for a second and not account for it. What about Ryan Miller all year?
When he wasn't playing well, the Sabres weren't playing well. Yeah.
There's what about Thomas now? I mean, is it age or is it just goalies? Goalies are so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Very few goaltenders can stay steady and play tremendous hockey like Lundqvist and Rene have this year.
Well, it's funny.
Even Pekka Rene started off the season struggling, if I recall correctly. So, I mean, there's always, you know, there's peaks and valleys for a lot of the goalies. And right now, you know, some of these guys are, you know, Thomas and Rask injured. They're playing Marty Turco for a while. Marty Turco's not an NHL goalie anymore, unfortunately.
No.
But, you know, you're in a big valley, and you have to withstand it. You need some of your health. You need some of your players back. And also, there's a motivation factor here. It's 82 games. They won last year. They're bored.
Is there a bit of a letdown? And I'm not suggesting, this is what I don't like, and I'm not suggesting that Drew was suggesting this, because Drew's not at all. I find that the way the narrative has gone with the Boston Bruins, and you know, I think that this whole idea of parity is sometimes lost, because not lost, but maybe it's over exaggerated, and really it's a function of the regulation wins and the points, and you go on a 4-game losing streak, you go from second to seventh, and all of a sudden, let's throw Tim Thomas under the bus.
I was just going to say that, though. In reality, the 1 point moves them from second to seventh. If they do go on a run, obviously they lose that home ice advantage. But all you're doing in that situation, if you boil it down, is you're playing Ottawa at 4 to 7 games at home in the first round, or you're playing Ottawa 3 to 7 games at home. You're playing the same team, because you're kind of both locked into the 2 and 7 slot, right? So you're basically just hopping back and forth between the two. So you're not actually changing. You're not suddenly going to play Pittsburgh in the first round.
Nope.
So that's also a motivational factor, I'm sure.
In the 20 games since the White House brouhaha happened.
The brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha. In the 20 games since
then. Is it a kerfuffle?
No, it's a brouhaha.
They won 6 games?
I'm looking at Thomas's numbers. In the 20 games since then, he has a sub-900 save percentage in 11 of those 20 games. And in a few more, if you include the games where he's right at 900, because you want your goalie to be, what, about a 915, 920?
League average is like 920.
So if you include the games under that, I mean, that moves from, you know, 12 games.
League average is 920 at evens, I think.
13 games, 14 games. 14 games of his last 20, he's had a sub-920 save percentage in those games.
Right.
I have trouble believing that the two issues aren't, at least to some extent, correlated.
I think there's a correlation. I mean, the question is how much and how quickly is
it. Okay, but that's different. The correlation between him struggling and the team struggling is correlated, but I don't think can be correlated as much. I don't think that you can say...
What about the other players?
So, exactly. I don't think
you can't look at it strictly in a vacuum. I agree. But it seems to me, I mean, at some point in time, when something changes, you know...
So put Tuukka Rask in net more.
Well, I mean, if you're going along this path,
we're doing is we're overanalyzing a team that has the exact same goal differential as Pittsburgh, and it's probably still as scary of a team.
And hey, Ottawa might be in second right now, but Boston's
assuming
got 2 games.
You're assuming
but no dynasty. I mean, there's
but you know, you're assuming they can just turn it on like they have snap of the fingers.
Turn on, but again, as I said, it's just them and Ottawa hopping back and forth. I mean, who's in favorite in that series? Take home ice advantage doesn't matter. It still wouldn't change the favorite,
right? But I mean, you know, if this is your path and you're going down this path and everything,
sure, you want to peak later. Of course, you want to peak later.
No, that's not even what I'm saying. If you're going down this path, and then all of a, and you're everything's even keel and you're doing okay, and then all of a sudden there's a blip, something happens that disturbs your path, and then all of a sudden you're on a downward trend.
Like
since
when we
that
went for
blip.
Lunch, and then you ate, and then suddenly you had stomach ache that day, and you missed the hockey game.
Right,
that was a blip.
That's a blip, so I can point to it and say,
and I'm a blimp.
But our performance has been worse since that blip, so you can say that there's a correlation between
your performance
the two.
Has been
no,
worse
no, there's
since
a. Hold on, let's Drew. There's no doubt the bubble has burst here on the Bruins. They need to pick it up. I mean, if that's what you're getting at, I mean, they're not playing well, and they've got to correct this quickly. They're obviously not in any danger of missing the playoffs, but you know they've won what is it 3 out of their last 10 games. They've lost 4 in a row. I mean, they've got to pick it up.
You also realize they win one game, they're back in second place, and it's. Oh. You know, it's all hunky-dory.
Well,
admittedly, and that's and that has a lot to do with the how well they were playing pre-White House, let's call it.
I mean, they still have some issues, Drew. I don't love their defense. I don't love it. I like it. I don't love it. You know, they've made some... I thought they made smart acquisitions. They miss some of their big guys up front and their offensive depth, and you have a bunch of guys contributing at all the time, and nobody's a 100-point guy. And sometimes you miss those guys, and you have some guys playing out of position at times. But the Thomas thing has been a distraction. I feel like the team can make amends for that drop in standings and turn it around rather quickly.
I should also just jump in here, too, that Tuukka Rask is injured, so that's why Turco came back and they couldn't get Khudobin into the lineup.
And Marty Turco, you know, with all due respect to Marty Turco, looks like Mr. Sivan there.
Well, no, Turco was doing analysis for TSN.
It's not even fair to him to put him in there. I mean, six goals the other night. He's never been a big goalie. He's a good puck mover. That's been negated by the trapezoid. And so he doesn't, you know, he's a stand-up goalie kind of in the day and age of butterfly. He's not a big guy. A lot of holes in the net. When the winger comes down the wing and he sees Marty Turco in net, he goes, oh, I want there, 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 there. Most goalies, he's thinking, okay, I'm going to get the puck up or, it's, you know, pick a corner or let's get a rebound.
There's a lot of options available to a forward coming down the wing there. I mean, it doesn't look like Rask is coming back anytime soon if you saw how he left the ice that day with, I think it was the groin or whatever
Thomas
it was.
Thomas is going to be the horse unless he falters and then you're in a tough spot and you got to put Rask in.
I think I think it's been a series of unfortunate events.
I think with
Rask there, you have absolutely no problem because you put in a guy whose numbers are better than Thomas's or very close to Thomas's, whatever they were. Rask's save percentage and goals against were terrific this year. So I think it's
self-inflicted, though. If Thomas is completely within his rights not to go to the White House, and we've spoken about that.
Are they that fragile, mentally fragile, that comments like that are going to go through the dressing room and tear the season apart?
If the guy's as unpopular as people say he is.
I don't think he's unpopular. I think
his political
BS.
Views are unpopular, but he's not unpopular as a person.
No, that's not the case. Pierre LeBrun was on Hustler and Lawless last week. He said Tim Thomas is an unpopular teammate. Well, you can be an unpopular teammate when you're playing over your head and playing well. You can't be an unpopular teammate when you've got a sub 900 goals against average or a save percentage.
The sample size is so small.
20 games.
That's a small sample size.
It's
Drew.
A quarter of the season.
Still a small sample size. What about Ryan Miller? He's terrible for the first three quarters of the season.
Right, and he was getting criticized for it. So now with the
bad teammate too,
I don't think No, nobody
heard anything about him being a bad teammate until recently. I have a hard time believing that's the case.
I agree with Richie. I think that Tim Thomas has been given an unfair.
Bruins are mentally weak.
He's been treated unfairly in the media, and I think that
we're not saying we agree with him.
Drew, the thing that you learn in sports is the one thing that coaches always hate, aside from
excuses.
Not working hard, is excuses and throwing and putting other players down. And I think people are putting him down now just because he's having some adversity, and I think it's unfair.
And for Tim Thomas, and by the way, for Pierre LeBrun to say that, and Pierre LeBrun doesn't usually rock the boat too often. He's, you know, he's very, very, does a very good job of what he says, but he's not one to rock the boat. You know, he's not somebody with that kind of reputation. So he must have got it from a source and who's okay with going forward with it. That, to me, means there's a leak in the locker room, and that, to me, means there's some discord in the locker room. And again, if that's coming out from inside the locker room or inside the organization, I think they have bigger problems.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in Boston as the season progresses. Let's go to break. Much more still to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Our good friend Hustler is down at the MTS Iceplex where the Timbit Hockey Jamboree is taking place.
Hustler and Lawless live at the Timbit Jamboree. And we're with the regional marketing manager of Tim Hortons for the area, Jason Capicco. Jason, what a great day you guys are putting on here.
Oh, it's been a fantastic day. Since 7 o'clock this morning, we've got kids showing up playing Timbits hockey, and it's just been an onslaught of kids coming in and having a great time. It's all about the celebration of the game today.
Perfect timing with the Winnipeg Jets being here, too. And, I mean, I don't think hockey fans could have been more jacked about the game last night, but then I see the looks on the faces of these 5 and 6-year-olds in the Timbit hockey program, and maybe they could be more jacked.
Well, you never know. Exactly. There may be our future NHL Jets players too, and we had a huge crowd coming in to watch the practice, and Jim Slater and Tim Stapleton came by too to even say hi to the kids, so appreciate that. So,
Jason, Tim Hortons coffee and Saturday morning practice, it's become synonymous, but it wasn't always that way. Why did Tim Hortons get so involved in minor hockey?
Well, it's one of those things. About 30 years ago, we had an owner out in actually in the East Coast and stuff that wanted to look at supporting hockey in his community and decided to start off by providing jerseys. And it's just one of those things, like just caught by wildfire. So for us here, we support over 1,500 boys and girls playing Timbits hockey, and it comes out of our local marketing budget. So all our owners are actually here today presenting medals to the kids. And obviously we have Sidney Crosby, that's our sort of ambassador for Timbits hockey, and providing each of them with a little gift item too. So.
What is that? How does that make owners feel when one of your Timbits players reaches the NHL? We all know Sidney Crosby was a Timbits player, and now he's, you know, the face of the National Hockey League. Every time one of your guys, I guess if an owner knows this is a guy that he helped support when he sees him reach the NHL. Must be a great feeling.
Oh, it's a great thrill and stuff. I mean, I know our owners and our managers, when the kids come in with the jerseys, they can actually lift the top of their jerseys underneath, and it says, I just played, I'm thirsty, so the kids can get a free drink. So a lot of our owners and our managers, when they see these kids, they want to talk to the kids. Like, how was your game? Did you score any goals? Did you get any assists? So they really have a thrill when the kids come into the restaurants.
We're having a great time here, too. Jason Kopitko, congratulations on everything that Tim Hortons is doing here in minor hockey. And Hustler and Lawless, we're having a great time here. It's the Timbit Jamboree at the Iceplex. Back to the boys on Illegal Curve.
Thanks, Hustler and Lawless, down at the MTS Iceplex, where it sounds like, you know, it just sounds like a great day down there today with all the, you know, tons of kids and great hockey, and the Jets had their practice
there. You were like a Timbit when you played at the old Winnipeg Arena.
It's true. I was like a Timbit back then. They didn't have Timbits when we were around, but it's like I was a Timbit. Same equivalent. I actually probably skated as well as a donut on skates. If a donut could ever put skates on, that's about as well as I skated.
Let's get off this because this just got awkward.
Yeah,
but,
my point
was I'm not a very good skater is what I was going with there.
Don't sell yourself short. You can move when you need to.
No, but I really can't.
Thanks to
Huss. I have soft hands, though, around the
thanks
net.
Thanks to Huss and Gary. And if you have a chance to go down there, I bet it's a great day. The Jets were down there. Apparently, they had about 300 or 400 people watching the practice. So, beautiful day. I mean, is there any other place that you'd rather be than Winnipeg? We're in the playoff race. It's beautiful weather.
Like in the entire world?
Well, yeah,
that's a loaded question.
Sure.
I mean,
in the entire world, Winnipeg, I would rather not be anywhere but here. I'm not even joking.
That's because you're not allowed to cross the border.
Whatever.
Anyways, let's talk about the GM meetings, which took place in Boca Raton, Florida, this past week.
Del Boca Vista.
Okay, segment over.
Really? I mean,
well,
I,
Drew, it was business as usual. Everything was business. You know, I was going to save this for later on in the show when we did six things we learned this week, but I'm going to scrap that and I'm going to make another point, but.
Hang on.
I mean,
you're saying you learned more than three things this week?
I learned four things.
Wow.
the amount of general managers, Richie, that were saying
business as usual.
Business as usual.
I wonder who went into a room and said, you're going to say it's business as usual.
But just because Gary told them to say business as usual.
And Bettman, for the record, not Lawless.
Not Lawless, Gary Bettman.
Might have been Lawless.
Doesn't mean they actually had to, you know, verbatim say business as usual. I mean, guys, give us something. At least find another word for usual.
It'll be funny when they don't spend a lot of money this summer and then it won't be business as usual.
Like, what about all the TSN guys that were down in Florida and they were like, okay, so, you know, I know that nothing has come out of the CBA, but what was talked about? Well, you know, it's business as usual.
Ryan Rashog was like, it's business as usual.
It was overkill.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a dull goings on.
I got a tan, though. I'm sure Bob got a tan.
Well, I don't listen to that. If somebody offered me a trip to Boca Raton, I'd go too. So no criticism by any stretch of the imagination. Let's talk. I mean, the big, if you want to call it big, or the only news that really came out of there is it sounds like the hybrid icing will be in play for next year.
Holy smoke! Let's call it 2000 and put it like seriously. We had an article on our site about this in 2008, I believe it was. Site started in 2007 on illegalcurve.com. 2008, Kyle Kozier,
5 years ago,
wrote an article about how it was used in the USHL, how it would make a lot of sense. For whatever reason, the NHL decided to take 5 years too long, and now they're finally going to adopt a rule that made sense long ago, and they're going to prevent injuries. Smart move.
Yeah, Richie, we have to give a shout-out to Kyle Kozier because he was...
Remus should link that article on the Twitter because it's interesting.
It was posted earlier this week, but Remus is going to...
I think I retweeted it from my account, but we'll get it up there
Remus
again.
Remus is going to do it right now. You can get that article. Just follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve, you'll get it there.
Drew, we're going to get into the Bowman line later, the Scotty Bowman line after, but this whole notion that of the face-offs, and as soon as a guy gets to the face-off circle, that's when you call it. I think this is actually something that was very well thought out. And it was a very good decision. This hybrid icing rule is going to prevent injuries.
Yeah, they should have instituted it 10 years ago,
exactly,
we said. Why would it take so long?
So, you know, that is something. I realize that the CBA negotiations haven't started yet, or at least the nuts and bolts haven't started yet. And whatever the topics they agreed on, they're not going to say. But that was something that was a pragmatic issue that was taken care of with a rule that makes sense. Pragmatic solution to an issue. And yeah, it might have taken too long, but hey, they got it done. So this is good. I mean,
let me ask you guys this. I mean, let me ask you guys this about the CBA because you just brought it up. Do you think it's going to be a contentious negotiation this offseason, this summer? Or do you think that both sides are going to look at each other and say, we're each making money?
No.
Salaries are going up.
No.
it's going to, and it's going to get resolved.
Do you know who Donald Fair is?
Yeah, it won't be that easy. You know, Gary Bettman is. It won't be that easy.
Do you expect that there will be a work stoppage in the NHL?
Yeah, probably a short one.
So something that might affect training camp and not necessarily the start of the season?
Yeah, I suspect they'll be back sometime in the late September, excuse me.
And normally training camp starts, what, about mid-September or
so? Yeah, early mid-September, yeah.
But of course it starts actually, then they have the prospects before that. So
no Europe games, so I'm sure they'll be.
Hey guys, remember who came on the show, this show, and said that he correctly predicted two lockouts, but he doesn't believe there's going to be one this time?
Notre Dame.
Al Strachan.
Oh, sorry, Al Strachan.
Al Strachan said that he doesn't believe there's going to be a lockout, and hey, if you call the first two and you don't call the third one, there's going to be a little bit of a break, but there's not going to be any regular season,
especially
games
after
lost.
What happened to the other leagues. I know the NBA lost some time, but the other leagues have reached labor accord. And if you're going to try and grow your sport in the States like they have for whatever reason, don't ask me. You want to keep in the good graces of all the Canadian fans who have been making you a boatload of money. You don't want to, you know.
Is there anything really that either side can dig in their heels about and really get upset about?
Well, you're going to get the second contract.
Realignment.
The term. You're going to get the term on the deals, you know, trying to max out the amount of years the guys can sign for, which, by the way, to me, will make for better product for the fans.
Sure.
But why would if a player do that? I mean, it's a free market. They should, you know, most senses, they should be able to do what they want. You'll get the issues on that. You'll get issues on some other things that they'll bring up, and what, you know, do they want to lower the unrestricted free agent age again? Do they want to, you know, do they want to cut terms on contracts? Do they want to have max contracts in there? You know, is the salary cap going to go down again? Do they want to take parts of their salary back? All those are going to be issues, yep. And they're going to compromise on some, compromise on others, and they're going to be a couple. It's going to boil down to, as it always does, two or three issues that they don't want to move on.
Let me ask you this. The NHL right now, the players get 57% of the revenue pot.
That's
basketball
going down.
Gets 50.
That's basketball gets 50, and I think football it's now 52.
Hockey's the highest. Yeah.
Hockey's the highest. So that's going to be the big, you know, if the
baseball's not relevant because it's not salary cap.
Now the
NHL the highest.
Well,
because
it's just a percentage. I mean, it doesn't mean they're getting the most money. It's a percentage of all revenue. So if the NHL if the NHL wants to draw that down, mm-hmm.
They're going to. That's
which
gonna,
is
that's
what they
be
want.
The biggest sticking point.
What would the NHLPA demand in return? Earlier unrestricted free agency.
Probably.
Is that the? Yeah. So who does that hurt besides the fans?
Well, I mean, the players get less money, so they might not budget all on that. That's going to be a big issue, Drew. And then the problem is that, you know, the last lockout, they talked about the prices and such that nobody, you know, one thing you have to take into account here is, sure, everybody likes to gang up on the players in this process. It always happens.
Yeah.
But where are were the ticket prices supposed to go down? Were the ticket prices supposed to stay the same? Where do you think the NHL makes its money? They don't have a terrible TV deal.
Well, it's a gate-driven league.
It's a gate-driven league, and they're charging as you know, very high prices for these tickets, and so the owners aren't sitting there and shouldn't be given a free pass by any means. They're going to go in there and they're going to try and hammer the players like they generally do, and they're going to hope that the players crumble. We hope it doesn't get to that point because that's what they've done in the past.
Well, divide and conquer.
What happened last time, right?
Divide and conquer.
Where are we now? Where are we now again? Free spending GMs. Some stupid owners spending lots of money on players that don't warrant that. And what Donald Fair is going to come in and say is, you're putting in a system to save yourself from yourself. You're coming in and you're trying to put in strict rules to save the GMs from themselves. And the owners and the GMs work closely and hand in hand. Why should the players have to compromise for that? Why can't they police their own league?
No argument for me whatsoever.
So that people should take into account before the players get roasted like they always do.
Well, you know, when people criticize the players, and very quickly right before the break, when people criticize the players, I never quite understood that. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to offer you $10 million to do your job, or somebody else is going to offer you $6 million to do the job, why wouldn't you take the $10 million offer? It's just no logical reason to expect the players to have some sort of other loyalty or anything along those lines. That, you know, and we'll talk more about the CBA probably throughout the summer, unfortunately, but
yes.
Here's hoping it's quick and painless.
GM meetings were just a vacation.
They certainly were. Let's leave it there. When we come back, we begin our final hour. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Legal Curve. And of course, our website is www.illegalcurve.com. This segment is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. David is a lifelong Winnipegger who brings passion and energy to all of his real estate dealings. Get in touch with David at 230 230-630-6129. That's David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230-6129. You can also follow him on Twitter, at David Carr, WPG.
We got a hot day with David Carr after this.
You're going to go use some of his realty skills and
right.
See if you can nail down that home purchase you're trying to do there, eh, Richie?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah,
Richie's got a double balloon mortgage.
What I find interesting is that, you're going to go look at the house, and what might happen is, you're going to buy a place, and Ezzy's going to move in as your tenant, and Ezzy was upset that he wasn't consulted about the initial purchase.
And not pay any money down.
I'm part of this. You'd be surprised how involved I've been in this whole process.
I tell you what, the word that comes to mind is Ponzi scheme. That Ezzy is trying to Ponzi scheme Richard out of a place.
I think that's true.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty apropos description.
Six things we learned this week.
Commence countdown. Six.
Well, the first thing I learned is that I won't be moving in with Richard anytime soon.
Now, back to the ditch with you there, Ezzy. Ezra Ginsberg, Phoenix Coyotes defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson, 2009 sixth overall pick, 20 yep. years old, has the skill set to become an elite offensive defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah, you mentioned that he's a sixth overall pick, and I watched him. I don't watch Phoenix a lot, probably because they're the most boring professional team in the history of professional sports. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a stud, and I really think that he has the potential to be maybe not as good as Erik Karlsson, but to put up very good numbers. I think he's got 50-point potential in him. He's got about 30 points this year for the Phoenix Coyotes, but there's one thing about Oliver Ekman-Larsson that he's got to do, and he's got to build his strength up, and he's still prone to giving away the puck, but watching him, the Phoenix Coyotes have got a really good defenseman. You consider that he's 20 years old. The sky's the limit. Just a treat to watch, and he's really turned into their best overall defenseman.
Richard? Oh, sorry. Timmy?
Poor job, Drew.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's how you get fired.
Five.
We spoke about it a little bit last week, but Louis Erickson is one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League and a pleasure to watch. He's a great skater. He's got a great wrist shot. But I think some people need to realize that when he plays with Mike Ribeiro, Mike Ribeiro's not a great defensive player, but he plays with Mike Ribeiro, what happens is a lot of the times as a winger, he actually ends up being the first man back in the zone. And usually that's the center's job to be a defensive guy, below the circles. And Erickson takes that on as well for a large part of the game. And so he's a winger who has more defensive responsibilities than many other wingers who are allowed to kind of sit a little bit higher in the zone. And I think that his willingness and his ability to defend well and his speed to get back and then get forward as a winger, good shot, good defensively. He just creates. He's a quiet leader. Doesn't take penalties. He is one of the more underrated players in the National Hockey League and should be given more credit. I think he actually should be. I don't really care who wins the Lady Byng Trophy, but he should be one of the three.
Let me ask you this. Why does he have that added responsibility as opposed to the center, like you said, Ribeiro?
Ribeiro is a little bit of a Rome. He likes to cheat a bit. And to their credit, Dallas has adjusted, and they've asked Erickson to take on more of a role, and so you'll see him come back many times. Now, Ribeiro will play back as well, but Erickson will take on that burden for a significant amount of time and cover below, cover the third man in the zone, in the defensive zone. And as a center, you have a lot more defensive responsibility than as a winger, and Erickson takes on that responsibility and means he's starting off further back in the zone when he gets going, and to be able to create offense and be that good defensively is a testament to his talent level.
Is it also a testament to the Dallas Stars coaching staff putting their players in a position to succeed, saying, Ribeiro, you're better off not having that responsibility?
Sure, absolutely, and you might used to see it with Wayne Gretzky later on in his career, play with a guy like Nicholas Sundstrom, who's a really good defensive player, but wasn't a good offensive player. Now, Gretzky was so good, he made him score 24, 25 goals. But you insulate an offensive player, allow him to succeed a little bit more, put him with a defensive player, and a guy like Ribeiro can give Erickson that offense as well. So it ends up being kind of a mutually beneficial deal.
Four.
Ezra Ginsberg, the Florida Panthers might be well on their way to winning the Southeast Division title, but they will be an easy first-round matchup for a team like the New Jersey Devils, who will prey on their weak defensive corps.
The New Jersey Devils or the Boston Bruins. You know what? The Florida Panthers are somehow going to win the Southeast Division. I mean, it looks like unless Washington can really pick up those points. Right now, they're 3 points behind, so I shouldn't say.
I think you're safe in saying that it's Florida's division to lose.
At this point, it is. They've got one game in hand on Washington as well. Florida isn't the best defensive team. They're ranked 17th in the NHL in goals against. They're giving up 2.67 goals against. They don't have a good penalty kill. It's ranked 23rd in the NHL. And, you know, and they've got, you know, Brian Campbell second in the NHL right now in defenseman scoring. He's done a great job. But, you know, he's not exactly Shea Weber back there. But I think that, you know, this is going to be the easiest first-round matchup for a team. I think the New Jersey Devils right now are almost happy, you know, that they're in the sixth spot. And it's going to be interesting to see. The Devils have been playing well as of lately. But I think if it's Philly or New Jersey or Pittsburgh, even though it looks like Pittsburgh's probably going to get in there in fourth or maybe even first, I think Florida has a lot of deficiencies defensively, and you've got Kulikov, who's a young defenseman. How is he going to handle going up against the likes of Kovalchuk and Parise, for instance, on the Devils? So I think it's going to be tough for Florida to win, get out of the first round, even though they're going to get home ice advantage.
Three.
I think the New York Rangers made an error not adding a defenseman at the deadline. I think that's going to cost them. I think they're a little bit young on the back end. When they have to trust, trust guys like Anton Stralman and Stu Bickel to play defensively responsible games or move the puck well enough. You know, Stralman can move the puck; he's not great defensively. Bickel can't move the puck very well. He's a little bit more of a stay-home guy. But what happens is you have your Girardi and Staal combination, and McDonough's a nice defenseman, and Del Zotto is too. Again, McDonough and Del Zotto can be taken advantage of in their own zone on the boards. And when you're going to be matching up and playing against a team like Pittsburgh, and you're going three deep, even Philly, and you're going three deep, I think the New York Rangers have made a mistake not adding a veteran, stay-at-home guy, you can move the puck a little bit on the back end. And you look at it now, and you wonder, hey, if the Rangers added a guy like Kubina or a guy like Grossman, would they not be in a little better position? And give credit, Philly credit, for making those moves.
Two.
Before you get to your next thing you learned this week.
He changed it, though.
He changed it. So I just want to read what he had.
No.
I want to read what he had initially, because it's funny. It's funny. This was Ezzie's initial one until we changed the show plan. The NHL GM meetings in Boca Raton, Florida, were the most anticlimactic event since the premiere of Waterworld starring Kevin Costner.
You know what? Now that I think about it, Waterworld was a pretty awesome movie. But you made it into a segment. So I'm going to change mine. Illegal Curve is soon going to come out with a stat, which is, I think, going to rock the statistical world in hockey.
How many pre-show beers you have?
I'm absolutely terrified right now because I know nothing about this stat.
No, you know about it.
I know.
The plus-minus stat. Illegal Curve has been following this stat all year, and what we've done is we've followed four teams in the NHL, and what we've done is we've calculated plus-minus according to what the score is in the game. So, you look at the plus-minus stat, and you look at it, and it is a flawed statistic, because on a bad team, everybody's got a bad plus-minus. And, you know, some guys will have an amazing, I believe a guy like Jeff Schultz was like plus 50 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong about that a couple of years ago when Ovechkin had 100 points. So we're going to be coming out with that at the end of the season, but we have to tabulate it and make sure it makes sense. What it's basically going to show is which players get goals in key situations is what that stat's going to show. To take that further, I'd like to see the plus-minus stat factor in power play goals and shorthanded goals. And why it doesn't is because the argument has always been, well, if a team is on the power play, they have a man advantage and it shouldn't really count as a plus. Well, my argument to that would be, okay, well, then you weight it and you don't give it that much of a value, and vice versa with shorthanded goals. What you could do is you could give it more of a value. If a guy gets a shorthanded goal, then give it more of a plus, so I'm talking, if you get a power play goal, maybe it's 0.5, you get a shorthanded goal, it's 1.5. What I'd like to see, the reason I think that's important, is it could really show you how valuable a player is and not just simple goals and assists, who's on the ice.
Look forward to that new Illegal Curve stat coming out soon. We've enlisted the top Winnipeg mathematician to calculate it for us. Is that right?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. In related news, we need as many fingers and toes as people can spare to help with the counting.
One.
I don't know which one is a better coach, Mike Babcock or Dan Bylsma, but to me, they're head and shoulders above the other coaches in the National Hockey League. And
you know, I think what happens is in the Jack Adams Award, we always look at the guys who have taken their team surprisingly, and I've loved what Paul McLean's done probably since November now, October, Drew. Should go back and check that. I think he deserves to win just above Ken Hitchcock, because I think it's harder to do what he's done the way they've played, the little younger of a squad. But I do think overall that there's no two coaches who are better motivators, more creative, have the respect of their dressing rooms than Dan Bylsma and Mike Babcock. And I think sometimes we completely forget that the coaches who do the best jobs with their teams year after year get somehow penalized by the Jack Adams voting because they're not taking some kind of reclamation project and moving it high up. They shouldn't be. These guys, I would have no issue voting for either of those two coaches for Coach of the Year this year.
There you have it. Six things we learned this week. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll head back out to the MTS Iceplex and much more still to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290. This segment is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all of the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. Be sure to join us. We're Illegal Curve Hockey at the Cheer. We'll be there Tuesday night, yep. We'll be there Friday night, and we'll be there Saturday night. Yep. And of course, the Cheer is also involved in Hustlers. What's he calling? Drunk Madness? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yes.
Barch Madness? Something like that. His, you know, where he's ranked 64 different drinking establishments. And
oh, really?
Yeah,
in Winnipeg.
You missed that? It was quite entertaining radio.
Yeah, the A was on there, or whatever. Yeah. The Dale, the A?
Those are different places altogether. Okay. You haven't been to either.
You used to be at the Charlie all the time, Drew.
I used to be at the Charlie all the time. It's true. And unfortunately, it's now a co-op. And
what?
They really frown on me when I just show up and start drinking beer in the parking lot.
Did the Palladium rank?
Well, no, because the Palladium's not around anymore, is he?
Oh, it isn't?
No, okay. It's not around anymore. Anyways, speaking of Hustler, let's go back out to the MTS Iceplex where the Tim Hortons Timbit Jamboree is taking place today.
All right, it's Hustler and Lawless. We're live at the Timbit Jamboree. And Gary, a lot of smiling faces, as we said before. And now we're talking to a few of the stars of the show. Cooper, how was your big game today, buddy?
Good.
Tell us all about it. The Timbit Jamboree, your team went out. Obviously, the Jets have been here. How's your day been?
Good.
And what's your name?
Lacey.
Lacey, were you also playing as well?
Yes.
How was your game?
Good.
Are you guys on the same team?
Yes.
Do you guys pass to each other and assist on each other's goals?
Yes.
That's great. Andrew is the dad here. Andrew, talk to us about the day. Obviously, kids are having a great time, and this is a real fun event, not to mention Jets here practicing. It doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. We came early and watched about half an hour of the Jets practice. Got right up close to the glass. And the kids' game, last one of the year, was really exciting. The playoff atmosphere, they were falling all over the place and chasing the puck around, skating with a lot of gusto. They had a Slurpee before, so they got some extra energy.
Now, Andrew, you're a listener of Hustler and Lawless. You've told us that a few minutes ago, and you weren't very happy with the abuse we were taking on the Jay and Westwood show the other morning.
I actually didn't mind it too much. I just thought it would have been good if you guys got to defend yourself, but it was pretty funny.
We have rebuttal. It's 4-6 Monday to Friday on TSN 1290. Now, Lacey, that pretty much does it for the season. Are you already excited for next year?
Yes.
I can't imagine. And Cooper, what was the highlight of your entire Timbit season this year? Today?
I don't know.
Playing at the Jets game New Year's Eve. Their team was lucky enough to get picked to play at the Leafs game New Year's Eve at intermission.
Doesn't get much better than that. Well, I'll tell you, we got a couple future stars here with Cooper and Lacey. Andrew, thanks very much for listening to the show. And you guys, great job. You look great in your medals, and it's great to have you on the show. Thanks, Cooper.
Bye.
That does it. We'll be back later on live from the MTS Iceplex. It's Hustler and Lawless at the Timbit Jamboree.
Thank you to Hustler, Lawless, Cooper, and Lacey.
Lacey and Cooper could take our jobs.
Well, no. In related news, I believe Hustler and Lawless have been shunted to the midnight shift now, and it's now the Cooper and Lacey show. Drive home on
great
TSN 1290.
Great to hear the youngsters on H&L Legal Curve. Awesome to hear.
Okay. Thanks.
What? I'm just saying they interviewed some youngsters.
Yeah, no, it was good. No, it was very good.
Well,
I just like making you feel awkward, as you know that.
It's tough to do. It's usually the opposite. It's usually me making other people feel awkward. But yeah, fair enough.
Don't worry. I'm sure that you'll succeed at that at some point today.
NHL news and notes.
Kevin Bieksa.
Former Manitoba Moose.
Former Manitoba Moose. Throw in, you don't hear many players criticize their hometown fans like he just did earlier this week. He called out the Vancouver fans for being too quiet. You know, pretty much the Jets, he's saying, you know, the Jets came into our barn, the Jets fans came into our barn, and they took it over.
You know what Kevin Bieksa's saying? He misses the MTS Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Canucks fans are bandwagon fans, always have been. It is a quiet, I actually noticed how quiet it was watching a number of games there during the regular season. I mean, if it's not the playoffs, these people don't look like they have any pulse.
Richie, I don't know about that. I mean, look how successful the Vancouver Grizzlies have been. Okay, I don't want to. You know what? I don't want to throw Vancouver fans under the bus, but I'm going to throw them under the bus.
You don't want to because they're going to throw bottles at you,
you know,
instead.
If you want to see a good crowd, I mean, you come to Winnipeg or you go to Montreal or you go to Calgary or Edmonton. I mean,
I like that about Bieksa. He's an honest guy.
Hey, you know what? If he doesn't like what the fans are giving to him, and he's saying it, hey, he's putting his own name and reputation on the line, and he's calling them out. I mean, it takes cojones to do that.
Here's the quote. When you're at home and the road team has a louder crowd, it's a little embarrassing, Kevin Bieksa told the Vancouver Province. I don't think we want that to happen to us. He went on, he further said, a lot of time when you're down in the game or going through a lull in the second period, the crowd can give the team a boost. We've got to be working together here. We both want the same thing, which is the Stanley Cup. So we will work for you if you work for us.
Well, they're also paying his salary. The one caveat there is they're paying $200 to sit in the arena to watch him play and watch them mail in a few nights.
Is it caveat or caveat?
Caveat. Caveat.
Is it?
Caveat.
It's caviar. In any event, but you know, I think that he needs to he wants to have the fans there, and you tread lightly a little bit because the prices of tickets are completely outrageous, especially in Vancouver.
What about the housing market?
That too.
Our assistant program director here, Raccoon Carney, just emailed me and said, come on, with 4 exclamation points. Nobody flips a police car or burns down a store like Vancouver fans.
It's true. The noise outside the arena is louder than the noise inside the arena.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
as long as you keep those anarchists off the streets, Drew, you'll be all right.
Let's talk about Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall, the Edmonton Oilers, young star forward.
He gets hit. You know, if you remember, Corey Sarich just hit on Patrick Marleau in the playoffs.
Can we talk about the hit?
Yeah, so Corey Sarich is kind of like Nicholas Cronwall does. He starts moving forward to hit the winger. So he's a right side defenseman.
Big boy.
Taylor Hall is a left winger, so they're on the same side. And Sarich moves up to hit Hall, and Hall blows a tire right before Sarich hits him. Mm-hmm. And then Sarich hits him, so he's kind of halfway on the ground. Not exactly like the Marcus Naslund, Steve Moore hit that prompted the whole Todd Bertuzzi incident, but similar idea, falling down and he still hit him. You don't blame
Sarich.
There
was no elbow up.
No, you don't blame Sarich. I mean, he fell and he's followed through. He couldn't have stopped because he was going
as
fast.
Do you think it was a clean hit?
Yeah, it was fine. Hall just
fell. I was fine with it too.
The problem with Taylor Hall, guys, and that the question is, he puts himself in harm's way so often. That is, does he put himself in harm's way too much that injuries are always going to be an issue? And that's a question that needs to be asked.
He's been in the league now for 2 years. And how many injuries has the guy had?
And he had concussion problems in junior. I mean,
it's a concern.
He suffered a concussion on that hit. The team announced on Twitter that he suffered a concussion.
Might be done for the year.
I'm assuming they're going to shelve him.
Why wouldn't they shelve him?
Last year too, remember?
I remember, but like, what? I mean,
from that fight,
is he going to get bigger? I mean, he's obviously going to get somewhat bigger, but is he ever going to be big enough that he can handle the physical toll?
Taylor Hall, I mean, what is he? 5'11", 6 feet. He's in good shape.
He's
not
a big boy, guys. I don't think he's bigger than that.
He's not as bulky as a Martin LaPointe, but he's also not, you know, a toothpick either. I mean, the guy's in decent shape.
If you believe, you know, what the team publishes his height and weight at, he's 6'1", 194.
Yeah, he's not a small guy. When he fills out, he's going to be bigger. He's going to make a Messier type. He's got that kind of build.
Yeah, it's
the problem
a good
is,
comparison.
You put yourself in harm's way too much? And can you change your game and still be effective? That's going to be an issue for Sidney Crosby. That's going to be an issue for everybody. Can you change your game? Because Hall does throw himself around a
lot. Richie, remember the old saying that we always used to say, whenever Scott Stevens was on the ice, you know, Lindros had to know that Scott Stevens was on the ice. Right. Because Scott Stevens is arguably the best open ice hitter of all time. And it's the same thing. Corey Sarich is known around the, Corey Sarich has been in the league for, what, 15 years now? He's been in the league for a long time. He has a reputation for also being a great open ice hitter, or just a physical guy that likes to go for the hit. You have to know that he's on the ice. And as far as I was concerned, Taylor Hall, was caught off. You know, it was unfortunate timing because he did lose his footing.
Right.
But he had to know who was coming there. I mean, Corey Sarich is in that position. It's a dangerous situation for him. And I hope that, you know, this isn't anything that's long term.
You have to correct that. I think you have to tell. You have to be able to have him mature. You know, he's a great player. He's going to be a 40 goal scorer. Sure. I mean, this year he's performed at tremendous levels. He can be a superstar player. But the question is, will he put himself in harm's way too much to hold himself back? And that's a question. And can he be effective if he does hold himself back a little bit?
How easy is it to change his style of play?
I think it's something you can change. I really do. He's big enough, he'll mature, he'll get bigger. He's a great skater, so he can get to places other guys can't get as quickly. He's got a great shot. I think it'll be okay, but it's going to need to change a bit because his tendency to put himself in harm's way is already, you know, the fight too. The fight's a different story, but at the same time, you're putting yourself in harm's way in that way too. You're losing games for maybe a lack of awareness, a lack of self-awareness.
The video from that hit, in case you missed it, is available on our Twitter feed, @IllegalCurve. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.IllegalCurve.com. When we come back, some more news and notes from around the NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. 30 minutes before the top of the hour here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's 30 minutes either before the top of the hour or 30 minutes after the top of the hour, depending on which way you want to look at it. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty guy?
Always half full.
That's good. I'm glad.
Always half full.
How about you there, Richie?
Half full, Drew.
Half full? Nice. Like it. Nice new car. Well, you haven't mentioned the Ezzy promotion, as Richard.
Well, so I was at
Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC.
Game day. Well, it's not a game day.
It's not a game day.
Sorry. So I was down there getting my car. A new car, and talking to. I don't want people following me around.
It's a valid point.
I don't want you following me around. So I'm down there, and they're going to be running a promotion, you know, about driving a different car around and talking about the car on Twitter. And
driving, talking, tweeting.
Yeah, you know, tweeting about it and talking, not while driving, but tweeting about it and tweeting about the car and what you think of it, and, you know, people get their reaction. And I thought, well, who better than the master tweeter, Mr. Comedy, Ezra Ginsburg. Ezra Ginsburg, to drive different cars around for 6 to 8 weeks. Once a week, you have to drive different car around.
I get to drive around different cars?
Oh, yeah.
Do I get a different car?
You talk about it. You say you like what you like, what you don't like. You drive around.
Can I drive other people in the car, or can it just be me?
No, you can drive. Dates, hot dates, dinner with friends, dinner alone.
How is the fact that he's been in about 6 car accidents going to factor into
that
the promotion?
None
of those have been proven in a court of law.
Yeah,
so.
and if they did happen, which you're alleging, that those occurred many years ago. Since then, Ezra has become a far more responsible driver.
I'll show you my merits later. I've got merits.
You got merits.
Really? He's got merits?
He gets merits tattooed on his arm, and every time he gets in an accident, he has to get a tattoo removed.
That makes sense.
No, but that sounds like a fun promotion. I'm looking forward to it, and I thank you for hooking that up. Hopefully I get to drive a couple of faster cars, because my car
The Corvette's the first car you're driving, actually.
Yeah, Corvette. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to give me the keys to a Corvette.
And if that's the case,
I'm probably going to get like a nice mid-size sedan.
You might.
Yeah, you would look at a nice mid-size sedan.
Easy for you to say.
Either way, I'm going to be rolling around.
Okay, let's rock.
I want to talk about Doug Armstrong. Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the St. Louis Blues, doing a great job. The Blues are somehow
first
in the NHL right now. He had this quote together regarding his team, working under head coach Ken Hitchcock. They work so well together, Doug Armstrong told the Globe and Mail. The neutral zone, it's like seaweed.
The problem in the NHL is that coaches, for many reasons, it's easier, but coaches teach defense more than they teach offense. And that's why I don't vote for Ken Hitchcock as coach of the year. He had a talented team. He came in. He's done a great job. Don't get me wrong. But he's just come in there and he said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to stick. And it's a defensive game. And it's a talented roster. And it's a defensive game. It's harder to play the way Ottawa plays with a more open style than it is to play the St. Louis style. It's easy to play. No, don't get me wrong. They're playing it better than anybody right now, but it's pretty easy to play a trapping game. You get your players to buy in. Now, that's the hard part, the coaching. But once you do, you know, all you're talking about is defensively, get in your lane, make sure there's no seams in the neutral zone, and don't go too far into the offensive zone without a forward back, and all of that stuff. The problem is the style of play that St. Louis employs is boring. And the NHL is pretty boring these days. We have to talk about that. Every game is 3-2. You turn on the TV the other night. Two games were 0-0 at the end of the second period. One was 2-1, one was 3-1. And you have Pittsburgh scores 5 goals because they have so much talent. But most games are boring because coaches will coach defense. Even last night's game. What was last night's score?
In the
3-2.
St. Louis
the Jets game?
3-2.
3-2.
Every game is 3-2.
Yeah.
Hold on, Rick. Can I jump in here, though, for a second? I agree with you, and I disagree with you. And I know that doesn't make sense.
That makes sense.
Well, it depends on
what you say next.
Okay, for instance, a team like the Jets, this season's been unbelievably entertaining. Every game the Jets are in, it seems to be an exciting, close game. I think that...
You're biased.
I think... you're biased. Okay. I think certain teams are exciting to watch. I think that the problem with the NHL is that certain teams are boring, and they're always boring, and I think certain teams are exciting. I think Pittsburgh... I think New Jersey, Pittsburgh, I like the Rangers. I like the way they play the game. I think certain teams are exciting, certain teams are boring.
I think in general
the NHL does need more scoring. I mean, a guy like Sidney Crosby comes back. Why is it so good? He's the most exciting offensive player in the NHL today. Another guy that everybody likes to watch, Steven Stamkos, Evgeny Malkin. I mean, Claude Giroux. These the guys that have the most points are the guys that score the goals are why people watch the game. And I agree with you in a sense, Richie, that the game is boring and this trapping stuff. Coaches are and the thing is, it's no secret. Ken Hitchcock, his track record speaks for itself. He gets wins, and that's all he cares about. He wants a win. And I remember when St. Louis was here. That's all he was concerned about was whether or not they got the win.
Hitchcock's a good coach, Jesse. Right. The problem is that all coaches care about is coaching the defense, and I wish they would coach offense.
Is the reason why he's bounced around as of late, last number of jobs he's bounced around, is that because his style just suffocates his players?
Yeah, he's a negative guy, Drew. So he's negative, 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 and after a while he wears on you, wears on you, wears on you, and you're done.
And when it doesn't work in a place like Columbus, it's only going to last a couple
Philly,
years.
Philly, Dallas, everywhere. Brett Hall hated him. A lot of the star players don't like him. He'll work you over, And you know, he's very, and I keep saying it, you know, I keep repeating the same thing because that's the way he is. He keeps going and going, and the player, it wears on the players, and then they get sick of it, and they grow tired of it, and they grow tired of playing such a boring style as well. But I mean, if you win, it cures everything.
Winning does have that charm.
That's what's happening in St. Louis, right? I mean, and that's what's happening in Phoenix. These guys are playing. Phoenix plays even more boring style as far as I'm concerned, but you win, and these guys will buy in, and they'll do whatever you need.
Is St. Louis a legitimate contender for the Stanley Cup?
I think every game they play in the playoffs will be a one-goal game. I really do believe that. I don't believe there'll be many blows with them, so I believe there'll be many one-goal games. So I think they'll play a team in the first round, San Jose, whoever, maybe L.A., and it'll be 2-1, 3-2, 2-1, 3-2, 4-4, 3-3-2. You know, be all slow-scoring, one-goal game. So do they have a shot to make a run? I do think so. I think that they could use a little bit of help. Obviously, their health issues. I mean, McDonald's out now. Steen still has a concussion.
Yeah.
That depth issue will hurt them in scoring-wise. I don't think they have a go-to scoring line that can carry the weight. That's an issue. I think some of the issue on their back end, I still have some concerns about the depth.
Yeah.
So I think overall they have holes, but every team has holes. So can you mask those holes throughout the playoffs? I think they have. I like Vancouver better than I like them. I like Detroit better than I like them. I like Nashville better than I like them. But the rest of the teams, I couple all together. I think there are as good a chance as any other teams aside from those three.
I'm gonna be more frank. I think it's
I'll
great.
Be Al, you be
I think it's great.
In your green hat, both of you.
I think it's great that St. Louis has. They're going to win the Western Conference. They might win the NHL. I think it's a great story. I think there's no denying Ken Hitchcock is coach of the year. I think McLean and Tortorella are in there too.
No, I don't think.
Hold on. He's done a great job there, but I'm going to be more frank. Absolutely not. They are not a Stanley Cup contender. I still think my elite teams in the West were Detroit, Vancouver, and Chicago. And without Taves, and you mentioned this on air last week, Richie, I'm concerned with Chicago without Taves up the middle. So as far as I'm concerned, there's only
Chicago
two elite teams in the West.
Yeah, they don't. They don't have enough. I don't like the pieces that have. They have a lot of talent, but I think they get carried more on talent than anything else, Ezzy.
Right, and so
playing
better
as of late, 6-3-1 in the last.
You're not up there with a Vancouver or a Detroit, even though right now, St. Louis has shown that they can play better than Detroit. But I mean, that's you don't have Lidstrom right now, and Datsyuk's probably coming back. But the thing is, St. Louis, they're two teams. I mean, they're also another team. They're only one game above 500 on the road. They haven't proven to me that they can win on the road. But, I mean, I think that, St. Louis is a very good team. I think they can, win in the first round. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
I think any team, I think they're, I categorize them as, two or three or four round teams. And I think that the teams I mentioned before, the Nashville, Detroit, and Vancouver are four-round teams, meaning I think they can go all the way. I think any team in the league can win a first-round series because that's just what happens. Yep. There's a chance.
Yep.
So if I'm categorizing that way...
Yeah, why couldn't San Jose upset St. Louis in the first round?
I think they're a four-round team. I think St. Louis right now is a three-round team. I could see them getting to the conference finals. I can't see them getting out of the conference finals.
Right.
And that's still a heck of a season.
Sure.
But, the way they're doing it, it's winning makes it easy for the fans and everything like that, but just to watch them play... They play a hard, aggressive style, but, I got to go on a quick tangent here for a second. The entire league, if you watch the games closely, the entire league is a pass to the winger, the tip-in. If you watch Washington yesterday, I actually
think it's... The ricochet effect.
I think it's actually some poor coaching, as far as I'm concerned. Players in Washington yesterday were so dead set on tipping the puck in for the forecheck that even softer passes that they could have received, they made a pass or dumped it in themselves... They were trying to tip in, and if you notice, about three or four times they turned the puck over at the opposing blue line, meaning the Jets' blue line, when they were trying to tip it in and the puck wasn't where it was supposed to be, or they couldn't get a good handle on it. Instead of stopping the puck, either making a pass or dumping it in themselves, and that's what the NHL has come to. That's what I want the red line back in. Make a pass. You're passing for a tip-in, so the pass doesn't even need to be accurate. It makes for a boring style, guys.
Richie, make a pass, and then also use some speed and generate something. I mean, Doug Armstrong is saying that the neutral zone is like seaweed. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it is like seaweed because teams are more concerned about how they're going to go on the forecheck and play defensively than creating offense. And you look at an international play, you don't see this tip-in stuff. I mean, you see the defenseman and the forward coming back and creating speed at your own blue line and breaking through the neutral zone with speed. There's more to be desired in a lot of hockey games, but it's because teams are concerned about playing their own system and less about maybe going for the goals.
Back to Washington, I think it's a flaw in the system because they're not a forechecking, big forechecking team. Possession is their game, so why give up the puck every time and try and forecheck when you're not a good forechecking team? Doesn't make sense to me. And that's the question I have about Dale Hunter. But again, the players should shoulder much of the burden there.
Some finals from games going on this afternoon in the NHL. Pittsburgh defeated the New Jersey Devils 5-2. Sidney Crosby, three assists.
Five points because they gave him an extra assist.
Yeah,
he tipped that shot from the blue line, right? I was watching the game live. I kept yelling at the TV, he tipped the shot.
5 points in two
games.
You
were yelling at the TV?
Yeah, I was, yeah. They didn't hear me, those weird.
You don't yell at the TV?
Well, I mean, not
the
when
boob
I,
tube?
Not when I hope that it's going to elicit some sort of change. There's nobody on the other end listening to me.
I'm bringing back
It's kind of like when you host the show.
You yell at me? Is that what?
Nobody on the other end listening to you.
Oh, big man. Big man with the jab right in my kidneys. That hurts. Philly and Boston are in a shootout tied at 2. We will update the winner of that game maybe before we go off the air. And at the end of second period in Minnesota, it's the Minnesota Wild 3, Carolina Hurricanes 2 in a game that absolutely nobody cares about. But second half back-to-back for the Hurricanes tomorrow. Another reason why
the 30th reason why they need to win tomorrow.
Well, if you wanted any extra ammunition for why the Jets need to beat the Hurricanes tomorrow, it's a tired Hurricanes team coming into Winnipeg. How about that?
Play to win the game, Drew.
There you go. Before we go to break, I think we're going to head out one final time to MTS Iceplex, where Hustler and Lawless are there for the Tim Hortons Timbit Jamboree.
Thanks, guys. Back at the MTS Iceplex for the Timbit Jamboree, and joined now by one of the many Tim Hortons owner-operators that are here taking part in the day. No stranger to the illegal curve, boys. Howie Shapiro. Howie, great to have you.
Oh, great to be here. And I got to say, Drew, the all-star second baseman of the Jewish Baseball League there. How you doing, boys?
What a great day today has been. And I know as the people that are really make this thing happen, Tim Hortons, the owner-operators, probably couldn't be more pleased to be here and see all the smiles on these young future hockey stars' faces.
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. I actually have been involved even before I got into Tim Hortons, but this is far and away the best one we've ever had. You know, we got the Jets here practicing. We had all the kids coming, even the ones that weren't playing today. And the smiles on their faces seeing Jets was just unbelievable.
Hockey, Tim Hortons coffee doesn't get much more Canadian than that. And obviously, it's a great opportunity for your company and your owner-operators to make a big difference in minor hockey in communities from coast to coast.
Well, you know, we just want to be involved. We just want to give back to the community. We know that, you know, they've supported us over the years, and we just want to help and give a little bit back, and no strings attached, and it's just nice to see all these smiling faces with little kids.
The kids are coming out with their medals right now, and the bottom line is there's smiles everywhere today at the Timba Jamboree.
Oh, absolutely, and you never know. You know, I know Shovel Dayoff was here. You know, Crosby was a Timbit. Maybe he saw somebody here today that's going to be the next Jets superstar.
Great stuff. Howie, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for having us here doing our cut-ins on the Illegal Curve show on TSN 1290. It was a pleasure, and keep up the great work.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, guys, that pretty much does it for us here at the Iceplex this afternoon. Thanks to everyone here from Tim Hortons and to all the young players who came out and had a great day at the Timbit Jamboree. Thanks again, guys.
Very busy afternoon here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thanks to Hustler and Lawless down at the MTS Iceplex for the Tim Hortons Timbit Jamboree. Lots of Jets news. Of course, the Jets-Hurricanes game is 7:30 tomorrow night. Game day coverage gets started with the aforementioned H&L at 4 p.m. Rick Ralph, our good friend Rick Ralph, and the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 6:30. One final segment, and we always end it the same way. It's called Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
Starting in Calgary, where the Flames have sent back to Portland of the WHL, Sven Berchi.
Way to pronounce it right. It's a tough name to pronounce.
I do what I can.
Good hockey player.
Thank you. The Flames sent him back to the Portland Winterhawks because they're getting a bit healthier now.
Yep.
Do you agree with the move to send him back after his performance so far, or should, given that they're in the bulk of a playoff race?
Long-term matters here. Entry-level matters. You don't want to burn an entry-level year, and this team's going nowhere. So if they make the playoffs, they're still going nowhere.
Right.
You don't want to burn an entry-level deal. On 1 year of the entry-level deal, which would accelerate his contract status on a team that needs young players like him. He's probably your best young prospect, and you don't want to start messing with what you have moving forward. And then that would be a bad idea. That would be short-sighted, and they made the right move here, which is a good move by Jay Feaster.
Yeah, Richie, I agree with you. Berchi from the Portland Winterhawks was tearing it up. I think he had 85 points so far, and they weren't happy because he was their best player. But he was called up on emergency. Mm-hmm. He was an emergency recall for Tim Jackman, and they had others that were injured. But if Sven Berchi was maybe in the Flames lineup 2 or 3 months ago, and then they had to make this decision, let's say before the trade deadline even, maybe it would be different, but you can't burn that year when you know that there's a good chance you won't make the playoffs.
Right.
So no problem with that. And you know what? The Flames don't have very many 1A prospects, and he's a 1A prospect from Switzerland, who I believe they got 15th overall, or in between 10th and 15th overall. So in the 2011 draft, we were there, and me and Remus were there in Minneapolis. It's good to see that he is going to be a good young player for that team.
Next topic in rapid fire.
You're getting excited for this one.
No, I'm not. I was just sort of rubbing my hands together for the sake of rubbing my hands together. Yeah. Well, I am wearing shorts.
It's plus 20 outside. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, not in the studio.
They turned up the air conditioning in here, Drew.
The Masterton Trophy in the NHL goes to the player that shows the most perseverance, dedication, and sportsmanship in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The nominee for the Pittsburgh Penguins this year is Matt Cook.
Why? Should it be Sidney Crosby?
Because he stopped being a dirty player, which he should have been in the first place. Come on, let's not get carried away. Matt Cook, Masterton Trophy.
Matt Cook is a good player. I mean, he got a goal.
Good penalty killer. No, he's a solid player.
He's a Stanley Cup winner. But
because he's a guy who goes out there, he's a pest, he's a rat, and now he's changed his gambit. He gets the Masterton Trophy. Take it easy. The guy did it so he wouldn't lose any more money because nobody would have signed him, and he keeps getting extended. When money is the main motivating factor, I prefer to not vote him for the Masterton Trophy.
I think Jim Slater should be our nominee.
It would have to be Jim Slater.
He missed a lot of time last year
with that concussion.
Jimmy Slater.
Yeah.
He should win it. Not only should he be our nominee, he should win it. He's awesome.
Thanks.
GST.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Yeah. Every time you say GST on air, do you get some sort of royalty that we don't know about?
Absolutely not.
Okay, just making sure. Eric Fair is game time decision for tomorrow. He's out with a...
Didn't practice today.
Might be a little banged up. Upper body injury.
Like a shoulder yesterday at the game.
Apparently separate from the other shoulder injuries, but
exactly.
Anyways, he's questionable for tomorrow's game against the Carolina Hurricanes. If Fair cannot go, who should get the call up from the Maritimes?
It's funny because they will have to call someone up with Thorburn out. They don't have any other extra forwards.
I would call it Mahacik. Because he's a right-handed shooting guy, right? You know, that's what they've been. That's what they've played with there. Glass and Slater put a right-handed shooting guy.
Yep.
He can play in the forecheck a bit. That's who I would call up to play that third line role.
Yeah, I don't have any argument there. I mean, we should also note that Eric Fair did come back. I thought he had one of his best games of the year.
Yeah,
I thought he was very good last night.
Games.
The last two games he got that very nice game-winning goal
against the Stars.
Against the Stars on Wednesday night. But the injury,
Eric Fair. They're saying that the podcast, Eric Fair was shocked that there's somebody on the ice slower than him in Adam Party. My God, Adam Party is slow.
Yeah,
Adam Party of the Dallas Stars.
But Eric Fair's injury. Saying that it's not Richie, to do with his shoulder from earlier in the season.
I don't totally believe that.
What are they going to say?
Okay. What they said.
We're just saying what we saw. That he just walked out favoring his shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, all the fans can see that.
Final rapid fire question for this week: after Eric Cole scored for the Montreal Canadiens earlier this week, he happened to skate by the ref and he high-fived the ref, Greg Kimmerly. Did you think that was overstepping his bounds in doing that, or were you okay with that?
It's funny. It was a reaction. It wasn't coordinated beforehand. He was just right there. The ref put out his hand. You know, Cole's been a good soldier throughout this whole year in Montreal. I think he's played tremendously well. He's probably been their best forward. I mean, Desjardins has obviously been great, but Cole, you know, they paid big money for him. It's been a mess of a season. He's been slow. He's been steady, productive and steady. He's not a disrespectful player, so I have absolutely no issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, if the other team had a problem with it, then he'd have to deal with it. But, I mean, he got the winning goal, and he high-fived the ref. Hey, he didn't throw a glove into the crowd.
That's true. He didn't throw a glove into the crowd. Let's wrap it up. It's called Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock.
I mean, my cheer this week to Jerome McGinley. I watched Calgary play a fair amount. They're a pretty boring team to watch. He has been given no talent, very little talent around him to succeed. And game after game, he tries as hard as he can. He doesn't pout. He hasn't pouted his way to Calgary. He's produced. He produces down the stretch like he does every year. He's a good soldier. He's great in the community. There's really no better role model for a kid looking to get into hockey or already in hockey than Jerome McGinley. You can't carry yourself any better than he does.
Ezra Ginsberg.
I'm going to cheer Tanner Glass. Adam Burrish, I don't think anybody's going to argue for an intelligent person. And Adam Burrish threw Tanner Glass's glove out into the crowd. By the way, it was thrown right back to Tanner Glass, so he got his glove back.
Yeah. But Tanner Glass stealing my chair, my friend.
Tanner Glass went right after Adam Burrish, and he should have. I mean, you're in a visiting team's rink, and you're throwing the other team's other player's glove into the stands. It's ridiculous.
Adam Burrish, the guy who called out Chris Pronger after winning the Cup as a useless fourth or fifth line right winger.
You know what? Tanner Glass, everyone knows.
You're saying Adam Burrish is the useless fourth or fifth line right winger.
Yeah.
Not, good not on Chris
you.
Pronger.
You can't let guys get away with that in your arena.
I would agree with you there completely. I'll wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to cheer Ron Hainsey. When Pavlik got snowed in that Dallas game.
Yep, stood up for him.
He stood up for him immediately. I think that goes a long way in proving that the players have their back. We saw what happened in Buffalo when they didn't have Miller's back after Lucic hit him. Yeah. This shows, I think, shows to some degree that it's a tight dressing room and they get along and they're going to be together right to the end for the playoff stretch drive.
It's like we should play like the step-by-step music right now. It was a very emotional ending by you, Drew.
Okay,
stay together right to the end.
Tim, let's get some Tom Jones while we go out here.
No, let's not get some Tom Jones, but let's wrap up the show by saying a big thank you to our friend
Pains,
Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. Tom Lynn, the former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild.
At the end of an episode.
In case you missed any of this program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, The Cheer Bar and Grill, and David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Until next Saturday afternoon at 12 noon, we wish you to have a good week, and if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturdays from noon to three. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290, your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.